At London's Royal Festival Hall this week, former Beach Boy Brian Wilson is performing songs from Smile. That's a project he started almost 40 years ago.
The diamond necklace played the pawn, hand in hand some drummed along, woe to a handsome man at baton.
That's Surf's Up from Smile, supposedly the greatest pop album never made. It was, to be band leader Brian Wilson's creative masterpiece, the follow-up to the acclaimed 1966 album Pet Sounds. Why it was never finished has been the subject of mystery and gossip. Did Brian just go nuts? Did he burn out on drugs? Or did he just give up because everyone else in the band hated his new sound? Commentator Bill Radke traveled from Seattle to London to experience an evening of pop history.
Columnated ruins, domino.
Columnated ruins, domino? Does that make any sense to you? It didn't to the other Beach Boys either when they showed up at Brian Wilson's house in 1966 to hear his new material. They hated it and begged Wilson to stick with the girls and surfing formula. So the story goes. There are lots of stories about the Lost Smile album, mostly involving drugs, paranoia, and lawsuits. Bits and pieces of the sessions, like the one you just heard, have surfaced on other albums, but they were never completed, which has stoked the Smile myth among obsessive fans. I'm not really one of those original fans. I wasn't born till 65. My earliest Beach Boys memory was my older brother singing, "Went to a dance, looking for romance, saw Barbara Ann, so I thought I'd drop my pants, Barbara Ann," which made milk come out of my nose. I bought a ticket to the Smile concert online last summer because I was curious about Wilson, and I like London. The shows are happening there because Wilson feels the Brits appreciate him the best. Since then, I've read books and watched documentaries about Smile to the point where I have become a little obsessed myself. So, my review of Smile. Well, the 18-piece band rocked. Wilson moved stiffly but sang well and seemed to have fun. The music was lush and inventive, sometimes spooky, often catchy, and the crowd loved it. Standing ovation. And I'm glad he didn't release it in 1967, because I think he would have been laughed at. Now, I know that the Beatles got away with writing weird, druggy songs, but that's just it. The Beatles wrote them. The Smile lyrics were written by a young poet named Van Dyke Parks. Wilson was impressed by Parks' impressionistic images, but I doubt he really understood them. Wilson does not strike me as an intellectual, and the drugs made him even dimmer. I imagine interviewers pressing young Brian to explain lyrics like "Over and over the crow cries, uncover the cornfield," which even Parks admits didn't mean anything. Without John Lennon's wit or Paul McCartney's charm, I think Wilson would have come off as a sweet, lost suburban boy trying desperately to stay relevant to hippies. If I'm right, Smile would have been mocked, and the sensitive Wilson might have been crushed permanently. As it turned out, he waited 37 years, the Smile concerts are a hit, and when the album is released, probably this year, it will sell at a rate that would be devastating to a young pop star, but gratifying to an old one. And now, for the rest of his performing life, Brian Wilson can take the stage and sing about worms and wind chimes and vegetables to adoring crowds, and finally, after all these years, smile.
Bill Radke hosts the program Rewind on member station KUOW in Seattle.
I'm gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chop down my vegetables. I love you most of all.
Day to Day is a production of NPR News and Slate.com. I'm Alex Chadwick.